We're in this series called Blueprint of Discipleship, and we're going to keep going on that series. I'm actually going to leave on sabbatical, so I'm out. So I might watch it online, but probably not. But I hope it's going to be great for you. But it was just occurring to me how, you know, this idea of discipleship, which is about following Jesus, right? It's about being with him. Remember, we talked about being in the dust of the rabbi, like literally walking with Jesus so close that we can hear him speak, that we can hear him teach, that we can hear him explain what he's getting at, and we can watch how he interacts and how he loves and how he connects with God. So being with Jesus, and then because of that, we're going to become like Jesus, and then we're going to do what Jesus did. That's what discipleship is all about, and it occurred to me as I was thinking about it how like appropriate that is that I'm going on sabbatical, because this is my whole theme of sabbatical is receptivity. Like, I'm just going to receive from the Lord. I'm going to get up. I mean, this is what we should do on vacation, friends, and it's, I mean, this is vacation on Jesus steroids, what I get to do. And what we get to do is get up in the morning and say, Lord Jesus, what do you have for my day? How great is that? But actually, that's discipleship. That's what all of us do. That's what all of us should do. And usually he goes, what do you mean? Go to work. That's what you got to do today. But you're like, okay, and as I go to work, what do you have for me today? Because I want to get behind you, Jesus. Let's do a quick review. Our discipleship is so important to us. This idea of becoming followers of Christ, intimate relationship with Jesus that transforms us. This is so important to us. It's one of our three ministry priorities. I was going to give you a quiz, but Kelly jumped. That's okay, Kelly. Good job. Worship, discipleship, and families. That's what we're about in our church. And as we think about that middle one, about discipleship, we are thinking about three sort of pillars of discipleship, which is our identity, our formation, and our calling. Our identity as followers of Jesus, our identity of who are we as followers of Jesus, our formation, which is how are we changed as we follow Jesus? Like, what's happening? We're actually getting formed. And our calling as followers, which is, what are we called to then? How are we called to live this out? These are the three pillars. And as you've noticed, we spent 2 weeks on identity. Shelley preached on it. Ben did sort of a workshop lab kind of experience for us to think about how foundational that is. And formation, we're talking about today, and Ben's going to do another follow-up of that next week for you. And then we're going to move into calling. So this is the structure. Everybody got where we're going and why we're doing it? We are using the image of a house, the blueprint, because we like the life of discipleship as a metaphor of the house, where our identity is foundational. It's absolutely foundational, which Shelley just crushed preaching that, and Ben followed that up and emphasizing such important truths, that our identity as the beloved child of a perfect father is absolutely foundational. If we have not worked that out, if we do not know who we are before him, if we're still living under some cloud of shame, if we're thinking that this is some sort of a religious brownie point system, and sometimes God's really happy with me, and most of the time he's kind of ticked off, like if we're not understanding this beloved, unconditional love of God, then we're not going to walk in this discipleship journey the way that it was designed to walk. So our identity is foundational, and formation in this metaphor is about the house itself. Our formation by the Holy Spirit and the spiritual practices becomes the house. It becomes the life that we build. It becomes the structure of our existence. And so we're going to be formed, and that's what we're going to talk about today in a second. And our calling, when you think about the metaphor of a house, is it's actually us living it out in the neighborhood. House is built. We're spiritual people following Jesus, and now we get to go live it out in the neighborhood. So that's the image of the life of discipleship as the metaphor of a house. So today we're going to talk about this formation, building the life, building the house, as it were. And to frame that conversation, I felt like I needed to go back and do a little quick theology lesson in a sense, and this is popular theology, so don't glaze over, you're going to be fine. And I thought we better talk about what Christianity is not. What Christianity is not. And Christianity is not teaching on how to be a good person. Now, I actually know that for some of you, you're like, are you sure? Because that's sort of what I was taught all along, and I sort of hear that coming out in a lot of messages. And so let me just say that Christianity is not primarily that. For sure, as a follower of Jesus, he's going to say, it matters how you live. But it's not primarily just a good moral teaching. And so for you to say, hey, I think I'm going to be a Christian, is not because you thought, hey, Jesus's teaching was so moral and made so much sense. I'm going to follow that code of ethics. I'm going to follow that creed. That's not what Christianity is. And nor is it a way to get to heaven. And now some of you are like, okay, am I in? Like what? That's why I became a Christian in junior high at the campfire. I mean, I was... But that's not the idea. The idea is not like, look it, doesn't matter how you live, doesn't matter about your relationship with God. It doesn't, this identity foundational thing, it's not the big deal. What the big deal is that you're gonna escape being away from God forever and ever, and you're gonna get to go to heaven, you got your ticket punched. It is not that. In fact, if it was that, didn't that sit kind of ugly in your soul as I said it? Yeah, like there's so much more. So then what is it? What is Christianity? Christianity is the story of God's rescue and recreation of all things, including us, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to take a minute on this because I don't want you to miss it. This is what Christianity is. It's the story of God's rescue. Doesn't that make sense? That the world was spinning out of control, having chosen its way rather than God's way since he created them. Adam, that's the story of Adam and Eve. That's what that's all about. And then that whole Old Testament is those people repeating that story over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. We'll just go our way, God. And then the message of the Bible is, how's that working out? So Christianity is the story of God wanting to come and rescue. And the way that the kingdom of God works is that it's pictured as and framed as a recreation. In other words, he's starting again with this human experiment. And all the things that we're like, oh, Eden is such a cool picture. When I really think about Eden and I nerd out on the fact that God had this perfect plan in place for human beings to walk in such close fellowship with God and to experience all the beauty and love and relationships and choicest morsels, like that's, you see I have food issues, that is such a beautiful thought, because every morning I get up and I look at the news thread or I just look out my window and I'm like, we have fallen so far. And I have fallen so far. And so this idea, go back to that definition for me real quick, would you, Kelly? That this is God's rescue and recreation of all things. And listen, it includes you. God, through Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit, is recreating you into what you were originally designed to be. Now, does that sound like good news? That's what we were longing for. That's what we were made for. And so Kelly put that up there, that it was my title for today as we talk about formation, is formation, this middle pillar of discipleship, of learning to follow Christ. There's identity, and now there's formation. Formation is about being recreated. He's doing that in the whole world, and he's asked us to join him in his ministry of recreation, and that's calling. We can't miss this idea of recreation. It is everywhere in the scriptures. It's all in the Old Testament hinting that one day the Savior will have to come and rescue the world from where it's gotten, and that will be the beginning of a recreation. When John tells the story of Jesus, he says that, what's the first words of Genesis 1? Anybody know? In the beginning. And then if you summed up the rest of Genesis, it's people blew that horribly. The first words of John chapter 1, the story of Jesus, in the beginning. The whole picture of Christ is God has come to the earth to rescue his people, including us, by the power of his Holy Spirit, to recreate us. That to me is mind-blowing and beautiful. That's a glorious message that will give life to our souls. So, let's ask a few questions. One, what is formation then? What is formation? It's the power of Jesus to the power of the Holy Spirit to transform us into the likeness of Jesus. Formation is the power of the Holy Spirit to transform us into the likeness of Jesus. So when you see us talking about identity, that's about go live out that you're the beloved child of a perfect father with full unconditional grace, all that good news. But when we talk about formation, we want you to have this in mind, that it's the power. Oh, I'm being powered upon by the Holy Spirit into transformation, into recreation, into the likeness of Jesus. Because Jesus was the forerunner of all of human beings, and he is our, like, the scriptures say that. They use the language of being recreated in the image of Jesus, but it's being recreated into the image of Jesus that he designed for you to be. In other words, there's a true you in there that he is transforming you into. Isn't that beautiful? And that's what formation is all about. One verse that comes to mind is 2 Corinthians 3:18. And it's, "For we all," Paul says, "who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory." Wait a minute, don't get lost. That's a lot of words. That little phrase, "with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory." He's giving a picture of Moses. He's like, remember when Moses met with God? And a couple things happened. When he met with God, he had to veil his face because it was too intense. But secondly, he veiled his face because the glow started going away. And when he came back down the mountain to talk to his people, he kept his face covered because they would be like, "You're not glowing anymore. Like, what's happening?" And so he was sort of, if you will, misusing his spiritual and religious leadership to make everybody think he was further along than he was. Whole other story and sermon. Fascinating. But what Paul is saying is, no veil, guys. Full access, relationship with God. And when we get to worship and contemplate the Lord's glory, so that's that phrase, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So it's the summary of what we just talked about. What's formation? It's the power of the Holy Spirit to transform us into the likeness of the of Jesus. It's us being transformed. So your recreation, friends, it is, always has been, what your soul has been longing for. I mean, you know that there's a you in there that is so beautiful because you see it reflected in other people and you're like, they're beautiful. I got to be like, I'm created to be something glorious in the image of God. We start with this foundation of, and God loves me and is delighted in me and has unconditionally accepted me. That's identity. That's foundational. But then we start building the house by formation to say, and now I'm going to get changed into the best version of me by God's power and for God's glory. Did you hear that sentence? That's what formation is. But I'm going to get changed into the best version of me, the me that God created me to be, for God's glory. That's so exciting. So, if you had one word to take away from this morning, for me, it would have to be change. That there's a new you. I spent 30 minutes of good sermon prep time coming up with a really cruddy AI magazine cover that said, "The new you." And then I just thought it was dumb and a waste of my time. Because that's what we're kind of looking for. And we do look for that in magazines. And we do look for that on shopping sites. And we do look for that in relationships. We're always looking for love in all the wrong places. But we're looking for transformation because there's an us that's built in here that was meant to connect with God and walk the journey and live out the calling uniquely designed to be who God made us to be. And that's what we've always longed for. And so the change is the word you got to carry away from this morning, that there is a new you in there. And formation is about recreation. And don't forget that because that's a process, that actually is the purpose of life. That's what we're all about. We're not here to adopt a moral code. We're not here to try to get into heaven. We're not here to get a few warm fuzzies. We're here to encounter the Holy Spirit that we might be transformed into the person that he created us to be for his glory. Okay, I think you're with me. Go like this or I'll just keep preaching it. So that's what formation is. Isn't it crazy to think that what we're really talking about is change is possible? I think that's why studying this text, these texts and this idea all week just moved me with that song that, "Oh God, my God, I need you. Like, come, you're the God who always was." And the miracle stories in scripture and the powerful love of God that gets manifest in scripture and how he comes through and meets people. It's why we share testimonies as much as we can, because we hear that God, that's my God. He'll come and he'll meet me and change is possible. And before I run out of time, Do you need change? Do you long for, oh God, my God, I need you? Where do you need the transformation of God, the healing of the Holy Spirit, the walking you into and then out of the wounds that this world has given? This is what God does. Where do you need change because you're stuck and you're like, no, I got more of this in me, man. I got more love. I got more things I could do for God. Like there's more to me and I just need God to come. This is what formation is about. And so we got to ask the question, then how do we go about that happening? Then how do we go about that? Like what's formation? Being changed by into the likeness of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And then the question we want to ask is, great, so how do we go about that? Here's a scripture in Galatians 5:25. It's a very simple scripture. And it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Isn't that a great simple teaching? Since the Spirit has indwelt us as believers in Christ. When we said yes to Jesus, his Holy Spirit came to live within us. So we have the power of God within us. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with him then. Let's walk with him. Let's keep putting ourselves in the way of the Holy Spirit because formation is transformation by the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to stay connected to the Holy Spirit. I always talk about it like this, let's get in the way of the Holy Spirit. I'm like picturing a waterfall, like there's this flood of Holy Spirit power and presence of God, and he wants to speak truth in my life, he wants to bring healing to my life, he wants to bring leading to me, and I got to get underneath that waterfall. Like I got to put myself on purpose in places where I can experience that Holy Spirit. The other passages use a different metaphor. I don't think I have this verse maybe, but Colossians 3:10 talks about putting on the new self, putting on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Like, let's go. There's a new self out there. There's a new you. Like, go get with the Holy Spirit and put that on. So it's about getting connected to the Holy Spirit. So that idea of putting on the new self helps me because it speaks to our, as I was praying, our volition, our part of intentionally walking in power, going and finding the places where the Holy Spirit can meet us and getting under the waterfall. Another way to say it biblically, and maybe this is the best way, is that we do everything we can to stay connected to the vine. Right? Jesus in John 15 talked about if you're connected to the vine, life comes to you. But any branch that gets disconnected has no life in it and gets thrown away. But no, if you get connected to the vine, then you bear much fruit. So this is what Jesus is asking us. So these are all metaphors. Put on the new self, walk with the Spirit, get connected to the vine, mind of just get in the way of the Holy Spirit, get under the waterfall. All of those are this idea of we can do something. How do we make this happen? How do we get transformed? It's a little bit like our part of like putting gas in the car. Like nobody would say that you're powering the car. That's an internal combustion engine or whatever other electric thing you got going on. But we would put gas in it or we would charge it with electricity that comes from the outside. And so what you have to do is periodically, and way more often than you thought when you bought that electric car, you got to go find a place to plug it in. And you got to put gas in it. And you have to orient your life around, is there gas in the car? Because we're about to go somewhere and I'm going to need the power to make that happen. So what do we do with that? How do we go about making this happen? These, friends, we call spiritual practices. We call them spiritual practices. You may have heard the term spiritual disciplines. Spiritual practices are us doing things to get in the way of the Spirit. They're Holy Spirit practices, getting us in tune with the Holy Spirit. Now, my metaphor is a little messed up to go find a waterfall and get underneath it, right? Because actually the Spirit lives within us. And Jesus talked about that in John 7, where he said that, like, he's talking about the Holy Spirit when he said there is streams of living water flowing from within you. So we have to get intentionally in touch with that. And these spiritual practices are the things that we do to get in the way of the Spirit so that he could transform us. What are some of those spiritual practices? Call out a couple things. Prayer, the word. Fasting, solitude, yeah. Church, worship, yeah. Church community and church worship, yeah. These are all the things that you hear us talk about, and now you're like, oh, right, that's why they're important. And that's why Christians have developed them over all of these generations, is because we're like, we have to be getting in the way of the Spirit and practicing these things. And so there's lots of stuff you guys can try. And there's no exact science here. One of the things in the D cohort is we just talk about there's just no exact science. Like, you almost can't go wrong. But when you start to do the practices, here's the one thing I do know from all my years in ministry and all my years of walking with Jesus. Here's what I do know. When you practice spiritual practices and get in the way of the Holy Spirit, it brings change and transformation in your life. I should have just said that and we could have gone home early. But if one does not do spiritual practices and create a liturgy, a structure, a religious structure around their life to do the practices of the Holy Spirit, then transformation and change doesn't happen. That's 30-something years of ministry experience telling you that it's not ever been different than that. So we're going to go about those things. So the next steps. And Bam, why don't you guys come out? Now I'll take the full 4 minutes I got left to talk about this, but I want you guys to be ready as we come to the table. All that stuff is about putting ourselves in a place where we can encounter him. So he'll bring his leading, his power, his wisdom, his healing, his change. That's where it comes from. Doing practices that connect us to the Holy Spirit. I actually know that there's a question in some of you, and that question is, I don't understand the like active ingredient of that. Like, am I just doing religious things and then somehow magically I'm changed? Kinda. But no. It's that we are now putting ourselves in a place. We've created a structure where I will now go after my Rabbi Jesus. I will get near him through the Holy Spirit, and I'll talk to him about what I need. I'll receive his truth and his leading, and that's where change happens. Here's my life hack list, you guys, my secret life hack list. It's based on this verse, Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, is another verse that you can read in the scriptures. Very early in the morning, it's still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. This is the beginning of a liturgy, of a structure in your life where you will start being in the way of the Holy Spirit. We talk about having a quiet time. That's where I'm going with this. You may have learned that in Sunday school as a kid. You may have learned that from your youth group experience growing up. You may have never heard that, and you've just heard us talk about it. We're going to actually talk about having a quiet time. And here is the life hack list. Here's what a quiet time consists of that will be transforming. One, get a time. It's a time. It's a quiet time. Well, let's just go with both of them. Get a time and get quiet. That's what a quiet time is. I feel like maybe I've wasted your time this morning. Like, get a time and get quiet. This is what Jesus did. It is not a small thing that Jesus, who was already intimately in relationship with the Heavenly Father when he walked the human journey, would go away very early, get up, go away, and spend time with God. That's a liturgy, friends. That's a structure that leads you to being in the place where God is so that you can hear from him, get changed by him, absorb all his truth and healing and leading. So get a time and get quiet. I mean, it's a little scary to think about getting a time. None of you loved it when I read the verse because you knew where it was going, that very early in the morning while it was still dark. This is super costly. Because that means if that's not possible for you, then there's some other life liturgy issues that got to get figured out. We got to figure it out. And if it's not very early in the morning because you work at 3 a.m. or whatever, then you do it on your lunch hour, or you do it when you go to bed at night or something. But it is a time that is costly. And we get quiet because when we're quiet, we learn that that quiets our whole life. That I don't need to worry and rush around and be anxious or be scarce or live in all my anxiety because God has gone before me and is within me. So we get a time all time becomes holy all day long, you get quiet. Life becomes quiet to you. And then the other two parts, and you better write these down because these are complex. Talk to God and listen to God. This is what we're going to ask you to do. This is a life hack. Get your time, get quiet, talk to God, and then listen to God. We talk to God, which is what we say is prayer, but it's more than prayer. It's talking to God. It's communing with God. It's being in the presence of God, telling him all of our heart and soul and asking about our needs and talking to him about the people we love, and it's just engaging God. And then listening to God, because it goes both ways. We hear from him in his word, and we actually start to learn to let the Holy Spirit speak to us. In the discipleship cohort, one of the questions we often ask at the end of the journaling exercises that we do in our daily homework is, and Lord Jesus, is there anything else you want to say to me about this? And we learn to sit quiet and believe that our Father loves us, and we learn to listen and distinguish the difference between our voice and his voice. Sometimes they're very similar. He uses our voice to remind us of good things, like you need to get up and go to work now. But if we're talking to God and we're listening to God, then we are in a place to be formed by God. And so, friends, is it time for you to get a liturgy? Is it time for you to go, I'm going to organize my life around some spiritual practices, around a set of commitments, around a set of rituals, if you will, in the best sense of that term. Like, I'm going to be a person who reads the word every day and listens for God. I'm going to write that question down that Jeff said. Lord Jesus, is there anything else you want to say to me about my life today? So I'm going to get a time and I'm going to get quiet. I'm going to talk to God and I'm going to listen to God because I want to be the me that God intended me to be from before creation even began. Is it time for you to be like, I'm going to do that? Because my experience tells me that when you engage in spiritual practices, change comes. And when we don't change. And God longs for us to be who he designed us to be. Now, there's so many spiritual practices, there's so many resources, but a good start would be get a time and get quiet and talk to God and read his word. And then we'll go from there. By the way, maybe this is a pitch to sign up for the Intro to Discipleship seminar that's happening this summer. Go on events and find that, because we will talk more about the other practices that you can do and get into your life. If you're like, I don't even know what these practices are, I don't even know how to talk to God, I don't even know how to read the Bible, totally. And we'll help you do that. But let's start by getting alone with God and talking to him and listening to him. It's appropriate that we come to the table now of the Lord, because this is a liturgy. This is a structure we've put into our life that regularly the church would gather and say, I want to do something that will put me in the way of the Spirit. I want to do something that the believers have done that for generations that will remind me of what is most true, that will put me in a posture of receiving everything that he has. That will put me in this place of saying, come, Holy Spirit. My God, I need you. Come, Spirit, and meet me and transform me. And so we do this regularly, and we're very unapologetic about this ritualistic thing. We come solemnly, we come expectantly, we come with gratitude, we come with worship. Gratitude and worship and expectation and solemnity are all parts of spiritual practices, aren't they? Where we just put ourselves aside and we focus and we ask God to show up and meet us. And so let us enter into this waterfall, friends, as a spiritual practice of worship. Let us enter into this as a spiritual practice of gratitude, leaning into the presence of Jesus at the table, and ask as you take the elements that the Holy Spirit would come. That's why he did it. The scriptures say that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, right? This symbolizes my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember that I went to the cross for you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant, the new agreement. There's a recreation happening. And it's offered to us all. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, Jesus said, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And so we live into the truth of, oh, this is what life's about. You died for me. You rose to bring life. You sent your Holy Spirit, and I'm being transformed starting now until one day that transformation will be complete. So friends, we're going to invite you to the table as we worship over the next couple songs. There's tables in the front and in the back, gluten-free bread, and it's non-alcoholic grape juice, and we want you to participate. If you've said yes to Christ, then come and say, Holy Spirit, come meet me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Let's stand together and worship and come to the table. And anytime during the songs, after you get the elements, feel free to take them by yourself wherever you're sitting. God bless you.